people in Philadelphia deserve to have a winner, you know?
Call it what it is.
Call it what it is.
We need to call it what it is.
Well, everybody's talking about it.
Call it.
Call it what it is.
Let's call it what it is.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Call It What It Is. Here with Patrice. This is episode 168. We got the Perkin House.
What up?
His team made the call.
You already know.
We got a great lineup, everything from clips recap to OJ passing to ref beef. But before we get started, cold open here. Let's talk about this, since we do it for the city, let's talk about this AI statue and initial reactions to the AI statue and then ultimate feelings on the AI statue. I think it's, what do you think, CT?
Well, AI, my favorite basketball player of all time. So initial reaction was like, nah, this statue too small. I ain't gonna like, don't get me wrong, like the Legends Walk is full of like small statues. They all on these little like podiums, you know what I mean? And it's like they're cute statues, but like Allen Iverson's like, it's too important, man. It's not like he's too important to the city, too important to basketball, like too important to like black culture, hip hop culture, like he needed a large drone, like a full size, life size one at the stadium. You know what I mean? Give me like, he didn't even need to be with the Legends Walk girls. Cause they like, all of the posts, the decisions we're making is like, the Legends Walk is complete now. You know what I mean? We got AI statue up here. It's like, no, if y'all gave him this little joint, man, he needs one. Like I say, full size, like stepping over a Tyronn Lue or something like that out in front of the goddamn stadium. I mean, that's our most recent final suit. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, we haven't even been out of that, what, second round probably or whatever, you know what I mean? And like,
we haven't been out of the second round since then.
Exactly. You know what I mean? That was 2001. So that's how important that is to Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying? Like, in terms of basketball.
That would have been a cold statue.
Yeah, it'd have been fucked up.
I wonder if Ty Lue like would have signed off on that. Like, yeah, you can.
Probably, him and our friends.
That's a statue too. Probably, bro.
That's how you say, hey man, hey, you. This is the only statue you're gonna get. All right, because we know you're not getting one. Even though you saw the coat, but they don't.
Yeah, I don't think any basketball statue has like, you know, someone getting like dunked on or anything like that. Because the ones I've seen, actually, no, they don't. Because the only ones I've seen are the ones for LA, which is like Shaq, Kareem, Magic. Like they're all just standalone, you know, like it's just them. And then here in Dallas, Dirk has one.
I mean, I feel like that would be cool. That'd be an exception. Or they could have gave me him crossing over Mike. I could have gave me that too. And like the high five of it, you know what I mean? Mike is like heading his hand when he crosses past him. I could have gave me that, but he wouldn't have the brain.
I thought the iconic like AI, what sticks out of my mind is like it was during our run to the finals.
Do you hear me, John?
The hand.
Yeah, that's what I thought it should have been.
That would have been dope.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. I wanted that most. But I'm like, if you gonna go this route, I feel like he deserves another one at the stadium, man. Like he's supposed to get. Is he getting honored today? I think he's supposed to be getting honored at the game today. So I'm like, that would have been dope if they'd have like, you know, kept that under wraps and gave him a stadium, one at the actual stadium, you know what I mean, today or whatever too.
They did kind of sell it as a like AI's getting his Sixers statue. Like they didn't say, you know, along the like Sixers Walk of Fame, it's gonna be a equally sized statue and this is just kind of legends across time. We do this for everybody. Like they didn't say that. So it was like I was expecting this like, all right, AI is gonna get immortalized as a Sixer for this statue. I thought it was like it was kind of funny that they were giving him the statue at the practice facility, giving up like that's his thing too. And I was like, all right, and it's like, oh, it's just like their Walk of Fame, and like it's you know, it just the way they sold it wasn't like the moment it was. So that's why initially I was like, what is this thing?
Yeah,
but then when you look into it, it's like, oh, all right, it's just like a continuance of what they've been doing, and like he's the clear next in line for this. So,
yeah,
but they raise our expectations way too high for this thing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think of course we all know it's well deserved, but I think just the rollout, like the way it was done, and I think it also just talks to the culture too, right? Like just how we all consume news now. Like we literally saw like a
5-second, 10-second clip and wanted to flame the Sixers management. Like with no
Yo, that's reality. Everybody was mad, man. And the thing for me was like, you know, like it's like that also speaks to like how important he is to everybody. Like motherfuckers is like, yo, this is disrespectful. Like they should have never done him like this. You know what I mean? And it's like once you find out that oh, they do everybody like this, like it's like, oh, okay, well, like he didn't get particularly disrespected. But then you immediately pivot to, but he deserved more than this, you know? Because it's and when you think of other legends of his ilk, they have like Kobe has two full size statues, right? Like at the with the that the Lakers unveiled. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like full size, not these little cute whatevers. And I'm sure they probably gave him something in relation to whatever their legend walk thing is. But like, yo, this person is iconic to you. And a lot of people would argue that Allen Iverson is more iconic and more important to people than Kobe Bryant was. You know what I'm saying? Definitely, like, I would argue this while he was alive. When you talk, you know, in terms of Kobe. You know, Kobe.
That's a hard argument now.
So once he died.
Huge Kobe Bryant for their entire life.
And this it happens to everybody. We talked about that previously, you know what I mean? That when you die, like your legend, you know, balloons. And I mean, Kobe's is, you know, Kobe's is deservedly so, but like it balloons something heavy. It's public opinion, like people, everything that everybody felt about. Because I know y'all remember, we old enough to remember, like people, niggas didn't like Kobe. Like there was a school of people who very much didn't like, myself included. There was a point where I really didn't like this motherfucker. Like, nah, I do not like this guy.
He was like a hate respect athlete to me.
Yes. You know, for a long time, you know what I'm saying? Very much hate, respect. Like, God, he's good at what he does, but I really don't like this guy. And if you were, like, somebody who was an AI person, you typically were not a Kobe person. It was one or the other. It was like a, that was the matchup, you know what I'm saying? For, like, years, you're the constant debate, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm very much an AI guy. I got autographed rookie jersey and all that. All right, that's my guy. So, I think he deserves a better statue than that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that's all.
All right. So, I mean, I think for sure, if Joel brings the city a championship or gets to the finals, does he deserve a statue one day? Like, let's just say he gets us. What if he just gets us to the Eastern Conference Finals? He deserves
Eastern still Conference gonna Finals.
Get look
Eastern
at what
Conference
look
Finals.
Look at what Joel
has done. Say we go. Say we lose 4-1. Gentlemen, sweep. He's the Conference Finals. Ooh. You want Joel to get the statue?
He's still gonna get one, man. He's definitely gonna get.
I mean, he's already. He is a Sixers legend. He's an MVP.
Yeah, for sure.
So he's definitely on that hook. If he hangs it up right now, he's on that little practice.
Yeah, on that walk of fame. Now does he get a full time? If he wins a championship, yeah, he won one at the arena. Yeah, he needs a
ring,
and it definitely has to be like the arm stretched out, right?
Oh yeah,
that's gonna be a big ass statue.
give me the helicopter. Yeah, that airplane one. You know what I'm saying? Like after he got that dunk off in the playoffs that year. Yeah. Unless he does something on the run that looks more iconic, you know what I mean? Because what I don't want, as much as it's like a big part of his game, don't give me like the elbow jumper as his statue. You know what I mean? Like, that's not sexy enough. It's not sexy enough. You gotta give me something with some personality, or you can give me the suck it. If they do,
oh my god!
and had general, you know, DX come through. You know what I mean? Like, listen.
Or like the one where he's on the ground though, like
he's like make it right outside the door when you're about to come in,
have the statue like so that like you know you can pose like in between his legs, like.
all right. He goes this guy.
Like the most iconic statue.
And make it so that you can see his dick, you know, like it's all right, man. Like this is cool, and now you turn it into something weird. But we pose between the legs. But yeah, it would be crazy. That would be crazy.
Okay, let's keep it moving. So this past week, the solar eclipse happened on Monday. We talked a little bit about it our last pod. Just general reactions and recap to the eclipse. Oh, you know what? Actually, you guys only saw the eclipse, right? Like, you guys weren't in the path of totality.
Right. We had 91% here. Right,
so, does it get dark? Did it get dark or no?
It didn't get, like, completely dark, but it was, like, an odd dimness.
Yeah. Right, exactly. It was an odd look. Like it was like gray out there already. That was the other thing too. Was like our visibility was kind of like whack in a lot of spots.
It got cloudy. The second it was like, all right, I'm at 91%. Like the clouds were right.
The clouds was like, oh no. Oh chill, y'all not ready for that. Y'all not ready for that. That's VIP package. You got to move to Erie, Pennsylvania. Like it's mad as hell. Like God. Yeah.
Here in Dallas, like it got like totally dark. It was kind of salty though, because like they were super hyped running up to it, and that morning it was like just like there. It was like mad overcast, and they were like speculating, like all the news stations here were like going crazy, like, oh, don't worry, like the cloud cover might like, you know, open up for us. It's a 50-50 chance, and there are all these like parties and stuff, and people were like literally like people were cheering about cloud cover. Like they were. This is like the first time. People were literally like watching clouds move and like being super hyped.
That's fucking funny.
But it was kind of crazy to see, because when it first started, like getting close to it, you could tell like it seemed like it was like the actual eclipse happened here. I think it was like noonish. It seemed like it was like 4 o'clock, like 5 o'clock. Like I was at work, like feeling like, yo, like why am I still here? Like because it started getting dark.
So it's time to go. Yeah, it's time to go. It's done.
And then I looked and I was like, damn, yo, it's like really dark. Like it, like the lights like went out. Like it was just like pitch black. Like it was kind of cool. It only lasted like a minute and a half or something like that, but it was cool.
You know what I like though from Dallas is that like a lot, y'all leaned into it. Like y'all really leaned into it there. My lady said that her job they gave them time off of work, bought the whole job, solar eclipse glasses, like, and had a cookout outside. They making burgers and stuff or whatever, so that the job could come out and watch.
That's dope.
My glasses. That was really about it. But the dude I talked about on the pod last week,
you got that swag.
Yeah, so he came. Okay, he was salty like the whole fucking day. He was salty. Yeah, so like, look, so like just every
slamming
morning,
papers down,
bro. Every morning, like we have a meeting, like first thing in the morning to like talk about what's going to happen today, blah blah blah. Right. So I usually try to start the meeting. The meeting is supposed to start at 7, but at my job we wear uniforms, so I don't think it's fair for them to have to like clock in and try to change, you know, off the clock and then get to the meeting exactly at 7. So I never start the meeting at 7. Like I tell them like, yo, like we'll start the meeting between 7:05, 7:10, like just be in here by 7:10. This dude, literally, I walked into the door of the meeting at like 7:10:30. This dude walked out of the meeting like at 7:10 on the dot, with the excuse like, oh, well, I thought we weren't meeting because nobody was there. And I'm like, bro, we do this shit every single morning. Like, every morning we do this shit. And all of a sudden, you're going to call amnesia today. Like, the eclipse really fucking with you.
What a petty bitch, man. He was like, yo, I cannot believe you made me come to work today.
Right. So he like, so I talked to him about like what was happening today, blah, blah, blah. And then I had the eclipse glasses on my hands. I was like, here, have a good day. And then he just stared at the glass. You know how like you like stare at some, like somebody trying to hand you something and you being like super Joe and not taking it. Like he did one of those, like where I'm gonna have my arm extended to him for like a long time. And then he like and he was just like
work out, like you're like, yo man, my shit's shaking. You gotta take these
right. And then like all day long, bro, he was just like mad salty, like just mad salty. Like anytime I had to like interact with him, he was just like, you know how you give people that like I have to respond to you, but I'm not going to give you no extra dialogue. Like that's what he was doing like the entire day. Like the entire day. And I told his ass like, yo, you could come to work early and leave like before the eclipse, like if you're really that worried about it. But he wasn't going, I don't know, bro. He's, you know, people.
No, it's one of those, you know, yo, the other thing is when a motherfucker try to punish you, like in those moments and whatnot, like you'd be like, bro, like you're punishing me by coming to work and doing what the fuck you're supposed to do. Like, right. I'm so worn down by this. I just don't know what I'm going to do. This is causing me so much conflict. Like, all day you still doing your fucking job. Like just do your job, man. That's so weird. At one point in the day,
he was like, "I'm getting him. He don't. Right. He, don't yeah. he thinks I hate him.
He think you're gonna enjoy this eclipse? No, I'm gonna make his day miserable. Right, you know what I did? Answer his questions. just really slow. Like,
but then, like, the crazy thing was, so, like, the next day, another one of my employees, like, came back, who took vacation on the eclipse day. And I asked him, like, yo, like, did you get to see the eclipse? Like, how was your day off? Blah, blah, blah. And he was like, nah, I didn't see it. And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, oh, well, like, my wife, he was like, my wife, like, made me and our daughter, like, stay inside. So we didn't get to see the eclipse at all. Like, she was, like, worried that, like, you know, something was going to happen. And I was like, and of course, like, you know, I was just like, oh, okay. And I just moved on. But, like,
I just moved on, right? I have.
Like, damn, did you drink any Kool-Aid? No? All right, cool. But just making sure.
Board up the windows? Bro, this is my.
I do not need you dying.
The first person I talked to who had, like, you know, reservations about the eclipse. Because, like, when we talked last week, we never said anything about, like, you know, people freaking out about it or anything. I didn't realize that there were, like, people out there who really had that energy for the eclipse like that. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's the celestial events. Like, there's a group of people that they mean a lot. And I'm sure an eclipse, total darkness during the day, it, celestially, probably is like the end of time. So,
yeah, man, I mean, I took.
And she ran that house, not clearly.
You know, and unfortunately, not to run us to this, but we made it here. Like, I know I told y'all in pre-production about that, like, that astrology, like, influenced a chick who, like, tried to off her whole family in response to the eclipse. Like, she killed her partner, pushed her kids out of a moving car because she was panicking. And she's like, yo, this is the sign of the end times. Like, the world's over because there's an eclipse happening. But it's just so strange because it's like, and yo, don't get me wrong, man. I know people really, really care about astrology, yo. But, like, I hope that, like, you know what I mean? That people aren't out here taking it to these extremes. Like, it's like, this is the danger of stuff like this, man. Like, you reacted to these celestial events, which have, like, scientific explanations. Like, hey, man, this is going to happen again in 20 years. I'm just saying, like, to me would have been where you don't panic, where you're like, it's like, all right, oh, this is about that. I'll see another one of these, like, fairly soon. Right. Oh.
And then they show you the map that shows you, like, these happen around the world, like, way more frequently than you would expect. Exactly. And just, like, when you see it, it's just the path that it's on, not just, like, it's not happening for the whole world right now. Right. It's just, like, these eight states in this line, like, it should come back to, it should ground you a bit, but, like, it didn't.
I'm like totally about to change the subject, but like something you said like sparked it's still the same topic, sparked a question to me. So you know how like the path of totality like is only over a certain, you know, strain, right? Because it's basically like the shadow, right, of the moon for the sun, right? Is there like a spot where you can be like, okay, I'm on the edge of the shadow, and like right here is dark as fuck, and over here is light. Like, is there a spot? Like when that happens, because I feel like if there was a spot, we would have saw it, right? Like somebody would have put that on the gram or like YouTube, like it would have been somewhere. Well,
it's a question of where it is on if that happens. You know what I mean? Like it could be a remote spot, but I think it's possibly a thing because I've been in situations where like it's raining on one side of the street and it's not on the other. You know what I mean? Like
really?
Sure those happen. Yeah.
Wow, like the edge of the storm.
Yeah, like right at the edge of a storm or whatever, right? Like I've had it happen with showers, especially when I'm in Atlanta. Atlanta used to get these when I was away at school. Like they would get these like weird little like a flash. It's raining really for like less than like 4 or 5 minutes, and it's like if you're on one part of campus, it's just not raining there. You know what I'm saying? Like you can like see where the rain is happening at, and it's just like oh, like you can see the cloud coming straight down, rain coming straight down. It's like oh. Ain't happening right here though. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm gonna wait till that shit finishes before I cross campus. Like little shit like that. But yeah, it's crazy. So like yeah, I'm sure there's a point like that. Yeah, it is actually pretty cool.
All right. So let's move to the biggest news of the week. If you are a big hip hop fan, of course you know about this rap beef that's been going on. It all started this shit started like about a year ago between Metro Boomin and Drake. Over the win of her loss over, what was it called? Friends and Enemies is Metro's project. What was it called? Is that right?
Superheroes
and Villains.
Superheroes.
Yeah.
Superheroes and Villains. So basically what capped it off was like Superheroes and Villains had way more streams and critically acclaimed success than Her Loss. And Metro was upset about it, started tweeting. And then that's when, you know, Drake since then has like not been fucking with Metro and has been a big issue. But we're talking about it now because Drake has responded to Metro and Future, J. Cole, Kendrick Lamar, A$AP Rocky, Rick Ross, Weeknd, Travis Scott, and then somehow John Morant caught some strays in it as well with his latest diss track, Push-Ups, which was actually like real interesting. But the question here for you guys is, who do you think is winning the rap beef right now? And then ultimately, how do you think this rap beef ends?
Well,
I want to make some distinctions.
Disqualify himself.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think Cole is like very much like, hey, I don't want to do this, so
he's out.
Which, and, all right. So if you
Wait,
if
okay, we just let's unpack that real quick.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like, if you're just talking hip hop, like Cole, that was it's crazy for him to do that. But if you know anything about J. Cole, it doesn't surprise you at all. Like it was. Like, I made mention of it, you know what I mean, when I saw it, but to me, it wasn't surprising. Like, I didn't go, wow, I can't believe that happened. It was more like a wow, I'm surprised someone would do this, but not that J. Cole would do this. You know what I mean? He's just not really that type of person. You know, it never really comes across that way. He's not confrontational. Like, he's always been pretty chill. And if you think about what happened that started this, if you're thinking about that, like, first-person shooter song, He's giving Kendrick his flowers in that song. You know what I'm saying? Like yo, we're all the best rappers. You know what I mean? And it could be either one of us at any given moment. You know what I'm saying? And so to
hold on. Let me interrupt you real quick. To stop. I mean, to fairly judge this rap beef, right? Let's lay down some groundwork because this is a big conversation about rap. Does album sales and financial success mean anything during a rap beef feud?
No.
It can. No, it can. It can, man. Because that's always said in a rap beef feud. Like, yo, I make more money than you. I sell more records than you, whatever. It can matter. Like, right, but it's going to show up.
Like, in the beef, when you create a beef, it's like, I am a better rapper than you.
Right.
So, like, what you say can obviously be based on, like, I make more money than you. But if you just say that, right? Like, if I'm just on a beat saying, I got more money than you, right? I lose that beef. Like, I need to say it as a rapper. I need to put, like, my bars need to be hot. Like, it's got to be like, I got more money than you, and I'm saying it in a creative way. And, like this is a good song. Like, it's got to be all that. It can't just be well, check the numbers.
Like, better. Because, like the whole thing is like, okay, like, we've seen, hold on. So, we've seen Nicki, like, being beefing with people since like 2017, right? So, but her only real defense, like, to all these rappers, other female rappers that she's had beef with, to Cardi, Remy Ma, Meg Thee Stallion, her main defense is like, yo, look, like, I don't care if you think you're a better rapper than me, I am like way more successful than you, and literally the queen of this shit just based off of stats. And then lot of the rebuttal to that is like, yo, like, you're a rapper. Like, you have to rap. Like, this is a technical battle. Like, you get out there and like show your graph and put it in the music.
No, that's facts. But that's the interesting part. Like, nobody's saying that Nicki's winning those beats. Like, I'm not saying that it's the deciding factor. I'm just saying that it matters for rapping. Like, it does matter. Like, if a nigga who's like underground star is, or not even a star, like, if a nigga who's a SoundCloud rapper disses Drake or whatever, like, you're not gonna get any attention. You know what I'm saying? There's like, and that's the argument that Nicki tries to make, even though she will shade these people in lyrics. It's like, I'm not paying y'all no mind because you're not on my level because I sell this much and I'm this successful. But the reality is, like, they still rapping and throwing shade at each other and dissing each other in songs and shit. So it doesn't work if that's all you're gonna say. I agree. But it does matter. Like, people pointed out, it'll be a factor. And the other thing people do too is they look at those things like streams and how much money this person made in response to, you know, the claims that you're making. Like, if you're talking about, like, you just stand the third or whatever, and you don't have it lined up like that, you know what I mean? Your numbers ain't backing it up or whatever. Or like, where's your fan base at? where's the support you have? And if you had such a great project, because that's some of the things they're arguing too, like in the rap beef or whatever, right? Like, yo, your project was trash. Well, your project was trash. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, yours didn't make any money. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. So it does become part of the conversation. That's all I'm like, it does matter in that regard. But I think you're right in the argument that it's about displaying your skills. It's about being a better rapper. You need to showcase that you had a better ability. And so one of the things we talked about when we first started talking about this beef is like, if we're talking about song making, like, then well, Drake is he's probably going to make the better song out of all of these people because that's what he does. Like, I mean, niggas still listen to back to back. Like, you know what I mean? The club still plays back to back. It's an active diss in Meek Mill. They're friends. You know what I'm saying? Now they cool now. They hang out and everything. But there's probably times where they're out and that song comes on. You know what I'm saying?
Like, out of 1 to 10, how corny is it that like J. Cole like literally dropped the track and backed up out the beef? Like literally, the track was up for like 2 days. Like scale of 1 to 10.
It's like it was 4 weeks. The whole thing stayed up for like 4 weeks. They got their first week numbers and then got up out of there. Yeah. I'll say, I mean, this is strong corny, like at 7 or 8, but it's like, just knew it was coming. It just doesn't surprise you. There's no, it's like a, like corny in the way that like Cole, like would be fine with being corny. You know what I'm saying? Like he's been pretty adamant about like, I don't really care about that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need to be cool per se. You know what I mean?
The surprising part was that he responded. Cause like, that was the move of all this that was out of his persona that he's built. It's like,
I agree.
It's like he respects Kendrick, like bar for bar. Like he's like, this guy is on my level. And it was odd. It was like odd to be like, to see him even respond. It was like, cause it was like the first person shooter. He's like, we're the best three. Like whoever, pick who you prefer, but we're the best three rappers.
Right.
And Kendrick took offense and his whole thing, even in his apology, he was like, I like this guy. I like his music.
Right. I think my like this guy. You know, I really didn't want to do this. You know what I mean? Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I think
go ahead.
The other thing too for me or whatever is like, I don't know how much, I think Kendrick and Drake's situation is a lot more contentious, but I don't know how much of it in terms of rap is like, I mean, it's just a lot of competition. I think for Kendrick, like, first, he's been pretty adamant about like, he doesn't want the team up camaraderie of it. He likes competition in rap. Like, I want everybody firing at everybody. Like, remember with on that control verse, he took aim at like 15 different rappers, right? Yeah. Like, hey, everybody's name is getting mentioned here because I want to foster competition. And none of these niggas give you the ilk of like, they gangster where like, I'm worried about somebody dying. Like, they're not drill rappers. So like, if this is just rap, Draco, we didn't particularly need your apology because like, nobody... Right.
Like, nobody, no one thinks that these people are going to actually fight, like send shots at each other. Like, we really don't think any of that shit at all.
Right, exactly. I don't think anyone's in danger. I think this is literally about who's the best rapper or whatever, and they may not like each other. Like, I think, obviously, I think Drake and Kendrick may not like each other now, but there's also something to be said for the fact that, like, most of these niggas that were dissing Drake or whatever, like, the reason I know about them is Drake related. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I thought it was so weird. Like, and they've all also given.
But hold on. So hold on. Before we get there, let's say. So I think let's try to break the rap beef down. Like, the way I'm seeing it right now, right, is like, it seems that the real beef here is like, Metro has issues with Drake. And then it sounds like other people also don't like Drake, maybe not like Drake. And Metro is you know, he's a producer. So he's pulling people in on all these tracks and people are taking the opportunity to like take shots at Drake, right?
Metro, like, don't you hate how Drake said that to you?
Exactly, right. And then people are like, you know what, I hate that nigga. Let me put a line in the song.
He's like, you just gonna let him talk to you like that?
Like try to pull these niggas together and like, there's some speculation. Like, you know, this line right here could apply to you. I don't know if you think it applies to you, but it could. Listen to what he said. Think about your history and see how this was. It was like one of those like twisting the things to suit the facts and whatnot, like twisting your theory to suit the facts.
But to be fair, Drake is petty as fuck. Like, when you go back and listen to some of his songs, like, there are a lot of liminal shots that he takes at people that's like super petty.
Yeah. You gotta know what's going on to even understand.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And that's why, like, I mean, although I was like, I wasn't sure if he would, Drake would have had to respond in some way, shape, or form. It might not have been in terms of what I would have been curious about, it would have been if he would have just responded as directly as he did. He would have definitely heard some petty, like, subs in response to this at some point. But these direct responses or whatever were interesting, yeah, to say the least.
We gonna get every song for the next 5 years, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Person. And because they really did this. Like, someone on the internet, shout out to whoever it was, really said that this team up makes it look like he's like Thanos. You know what I mean? Like, he's like unbeatable being that there's like six niggas arguing with him right now. You know what I mean? Like, right. It's like they have to jump him. You know what I mean? And if they would have just released that Kendrick and Future track or whatever, you know what I'm saying? It looks like a small thing. But they essentially made a Drake diss project, which makes him like, you know what I mean? He looks like a
guy. And dropped it twice.
Right. Like, it makes him look like some sort of god. You know what I mean? Like, everyone is involved in this. People, and everybody had their own little personal reasons or whatever. For them to be like, yeah, this is the time, let's go do this. And that's the shot you took. And then he like loads a clip and fires back, and each one of y'all get like an active diss and response. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't even give y'all gave him a project, and he gave one song, and it's on par. What I'm saying?
Is it more revealing that, like, you know, he's been this successful talking about Drake?
Yeah.
But and it's like all these people around him have, I don't want to say used him, but worked with him and had success because of him. But he was just kind of like this person that no one really liked. It was just like, he's just mad talented and we have to like do business with him.
But the weird thing is, I don't think it started off that way. I don't think it was like that. I think it became that, like, over time, people stopped liking him because like some of them or whatever were like,
all right,
like
Tyler, the creator sent shots at him yesterday at his Coachella set. It was like, I really don't like that nigga either. Like, I used to hate that nigga.
Yeah, and that's what I think a lot of people or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I think it became that way. You know what I'm saying? I think it became that way. Because, like, for one, like we say, a lot of people, you'll say in a heartbeat, Drake is corny sometimes, a lot of times, you know what I mean? Petty a lot of times or whatever. Like, there are things that you could have beef with or whatever about this dude, right? But, like, like we just were saying or whatever, you know, before he's like, you know, you wanted to bring it back down. Like, most of these niggas, the reason you know them is because Drake gave him a look or a cosign at some point. And Drake is somebody who, like, you could argue, like, he got a cosign from Wayne or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And then he, like, handed them out. And it seemed like he handed them out without, like I know A$AP Rocky has, like, a full interview where he's explaining, like, Drake is one of the first people to, like, put him on, do music with him, and not try to like sign him and take all his money as well. Like, just like, yo, I just think what you're doing is dope, and here, you know, here, like, let's do that. Like, Kendrick has that Baron. The first time I ever heard Kendrick Lamar is on Drake's on Take Care, and it's what that Marvin's Room, Buried Alive, like little mashup type song or whatever, right? And that whole verse, that there's a huge part of that verse where Kendrick is thanking Drake for being here. Like, that's the whole verse. It's like two or three bars at least, where he's like, you know, responsible for my career being where it's at right now. You know what I mean? Future, the same deal. Like, Future was on, I don't Racks on Racks is the first song I know Future on or whatever, right? But seeing him popping is with Drake.
Yeah, you know Future what I'm saying? Future didn't become, right. Like, Future was like an Atlanta strip club, like, rapper until, right. Like, yeah. Right.
Yeah. But exactly. Rex wasn't even his track. It was someone else's track that he was featured. Right. So, like, yeah, I think same thing with Ross. All of Ross's really good songs are Drake feature songs. Drake features up. Like, it just looks weird for everybody the weekend. Come on, dog, you signed his label. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you still are in some way. A lot of times y'all still their situation is so strange because it seems like they're perpetually like not friendly, but still constantly making music. Like, it's like, hey, this still works. You know what I mean? Like, whatever happens here, it's like a toxic relationship with them niggas. Like whatever happens here,
doesn't really make sense to me.
Like,
the Drake weekend beef. Like,
yeah, I don't.
I think they like fell out when Drake was like trying to sign him, and I guess they had like some words about like, you know, how like business dealings because of what he did to is it McConan, like however you pronounce the dude's name, and Party Next Door. So I think that's like where their beef stems from. But Yeah, I don't know, man. It's real interesting. And then this, like, the other part of it too is I'm tired of seeing them beef about like women. Like like John Morant caught strings in this one.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Yeah, like it's like crazy. It's like you're an NBA star. Like you're Drake. And like why? Like what's the what is going on that like you guys are fighting over these like same girls? Like what is like what do they have?
This is the thing for me, right? This is the confusion for me. It also becomes a conversation about these women, which is also weird. Like it's just like ASAP Rocky's diss or whatever is about the fact that he fucked Drake's baby mom before Drake had a son with her, right? Which we already knew, because when that baby was like a thing and everybody was trying to figure out whose baby it is with this chick, the names that were attached to were Travis Scott, ASAP Rocky, James Harden, and Drake. They were all potentially this child's father, all right? It turned out to be Drake, but they all were messing with this girl, so it's not like this was news. And it's a weird take because ASAP Rocky is now with Rihanna, and has multiple kids with Rihanna, who used to date Drake before this nigga got with her. So it's like it doesn't. When you start making the conversation about the women that you're dating, it's like, well, y'all were all talking to the same women. So like, if at some point there's odds are that there was someone that you really cared about that used to date one of these other niggas beforehand too. Like, it's a weird thing.
And it's strange because like even with Rick Ross, like Rick Ross's response, like he's pissed off because Drake like invited like his ex to like on some concert like in her area like to have backstage passes. Of course, you know, like, you know, he's trying to get close to her. But the thing is, like, we at this point, I'm not even in that type of social circle, but I understand like among rappers and NBA players, there is no code. Like there is no you know, I talked to her, so now you can't talk to her. Like there is absolutely no code like that, like among
These niggas will scream up and down that they don't care about these women either. Most of the arguments they have, I mean, like outside of these ones, like, you know, like the Holy Grail ones, like Rihanna, like how they like, you know, all of these niggas was in love with Rihanna. You know what I'm saying? Travis was in love with her, ASAP, and Drake, all of them. Chris Brown, everybody, super in love with her, right? That like, cause that's the other thing too, is these R&B niggas be ending up in the rap beefs and stuff like that. We're not over these women. And it's over these women, like Chris Brown and fucking Quavo right now. Right. Are beefing actively over Karrueche, who Chris Brown ain't even been with in like 10. She got like a 10-year restraining order on this nigga that's about to run up. So yeah. they haven't even been together for like a decade, and he's still not over that. Like y'all have to let these women go. It don't make no sense, man. And for y'all to be falling out to the point where like, think about how much money they're making together. Like, all right, we're just about to get What a Time to Be Alive too. The reports on that on Future and Drake's beef is that it's related to them having a woman in common or whatever that they and pillow talking and this and the third. Yo, that What a Time to Be Alive was a moment in time for niggas. Right. Like motherfuckers know exactly.
I'm actually real upset that we might never get that. Like I'm actually upset about
What a Time to Be Alive was such a moment that like every album that Drake has released since, people have been going, man, I really wish you would give us a thing like What a Time to Be Alive. You know what I mean? Like people have been asking that, like, I just want you to just rap. Just give me like just a bunch of rapping for me. And he hasn't done it. You know what I'm saying? So like it's just that all that shit over these girls, over this women, you know what I mean? Like it's like let these women live their lives. If y'all are all gonna date them, then stop being all in y'all feelings about it. It can't be that y'all are all attracted to these 20 or so, there's only about 20 or so women that this is about. And that y'all are like getting that invested where like your misogyny is like pushing to the point where like y'all are going to insult each other over dating the same women. Like y'all like this woman for the same reason. Why is it corny when he did it? Because he did it after you did it or some goofy shit like that. Like y'all don't, it's just goofy. And I wish that it would not be a part of the rap conversation at all for them. Like rap about anything else. Y'all can talk about y'all, the money, the drugs, the guns, the whatever the hell. But when y'all get to rapping about the fact that y'all all like the same girl, everybody looks corny. Everybody looks corny, man. It's no, you don't get cool points for being the first nigga to like her because you're being weird about it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Someone else should be giving you those cool points. You should never be the person reminding everybody. It always looks corny when somebody go out like, well, I told you this first. I put you on first. When someone begged you for that credit, it's much cooler when someone else gives you that credit, right? Like, the first person I seen wearing these sneakers was such and such and blah, blah, blah. Now somebody walking up to you like, yo, I was wearing those before you did. You look weird as shit doing that. Like,
okay, so then how does it end? Like, who definitely is on the clock and needs to respond versus, like,
we need another Kendrick. We need, another Kendrick. We need a Kendrick track. He needs like a track of his own making.
Yeah, not a feature verse.
Right.
And I love like
and another Drake. Y'all can keep doing this. If they want to keep doing this, it's fine. I really don't need the offshoots from anybody. Anyone else?
I love all the mob talk because like y'all ain't gonna do nothing to each other.
Right.
Yo, not a stitch.
Everybody's talking about like, guns and all this stuff. I got people. Y'all ain't about to do nothing to each other. I love it though.
There's too much money. Lives to be acting like this.
Yeah. It's entertaining. It's super entertaining. But I think it probably ends with somebody's going to go like back to back and be like super aggressive. It might be Kendrick. And then I think it eventually like squashes and they do the 20v1 tour. That's what I'm looking for. I need a 20v1 tour where it's just like everybody who was in the beef now is on tour together for the summer. But to be honest, like we can all agree, like Drake is the dominant one here, right? Like Drake is the king of like hip hop and rap right now, right? Like,
he's
the Godzilla. Like he's going to establish dominance. Like he just felt it.
He just came in to regulate. I think ideally, we get like most of the summer of just like good tracks that are diss tracks, and then the competition becomes everyone's project for late this year, early next year. They are trying to assert their dominance in the industry, and we just get a ton of good music. Yeah. I think that's ideally
that might actually shake out, like, or at the very least that because I think a handful of these niggas probably had albums they were about to do. Like I think there was a part of the delay probably in some of these responses is like the other shit that they were working on. You know what I mean? Like Drake took a little second. Everybody was begging for him or whatever. I mean he's like touring and probably like trying to put an album together or whatever. Kendrick is likely, since that was a feature, he's likely working on his own thing. You know what I'm saying? To respond. Cole is, you know, in album mode as well. He gave us that little mix.
I don't hear from Cole anymore, bro. Like, I'm
not in this rap beef, but I'm just letting you know, like, in terms of like these niggas are definitely about to get. Perk was talking about his ideal scenario, and it's like
I need him like all right, because I backed out of this beef. I need to this album that I'm working on. It needs to us like I don't need to say this is a Kendrick diss track, right? I just need this album to be so good that they're like, wow, he is the best. He's the best rapper alive, right? I need them all on that time for the next 8 months. Because, like, these songs are meaningless. I need music. I need albums from you guys. Like,
that could work.
I need Jay-Z to pop up and just drop a track. Just like,
nah. I'm going to hear about, like, Jay-Z's art in this beef. I don't, man. I don't need to hear about his art.
You don't want
to
hear about his you don't want, like, that.
Is like not relative to
that biannual feature that Jay-Z drops that everybody talks about for 3-8
weeks. We are now, and how like the new thing is NFTs and really art is worthless or some shit. You know what I mean? Like I don't. Hove, man, it's so crazy too because like when you think about what Hove was at first to what he is now, it's such a change, man. Hove was literally. Hove was literally a drug dealer, like, you know what I mean? Like,
people have really forgotten how he started.
His raps were very, very particular niche, very much a New York rap nigga with a thought process of like, I'm gonna take over, you know what I mean? And do this shit, run this corporate shit like a thug, you know what I mean? And then like, now it's like, hey man, first of all, I never even sold drugs. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think you should, or like, you know what I mean?
His whole persona now is like about like enterprise is better than anything else. Enterprise and family, like and being a man is better than anything else you could do. So like if he does put out a track. Yeah, like if he does put out a diss track, like it'll be like to tell Drake
it's
like
the fact that you're doing this. That's
yeah,
what
it's just
be.
Like, look, like you doing this wrong. Like you supposed to profit off the beef? Like you should have leaked it. Like real niggas, like you know, make money. Like what?
Just like you said, y'all should have all went to concert together. We could have been getting this money as one big hip hop collective. The only people winning off of this beef is the white man. Like it's just
It'd be some bars in there.
It would be some bars in there, but you'd be like, "What is this? What is he doing, man? He's like the old." Yeah, yeah, he's like, you wouldn't finish that song and be like, man, I probably need another life insurance policy. I do, because my son isn't as protected as he should be. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just shit like that. Like, I don't need that from Hov, man. I don't need him involved at all. Stay the fuck where, stay wherever Beyonce has you right now, nigga. You stay right there. Don't you fucking move. All right.
All right. So I think we all agree. Like, I think Kendrick is the one who's mainly on the clock. Everybody else, like, you pretty much can sit back and wait until Kendrick drops, and we'll see what happens after that. So
yeah. No. I don't even want to rap. I don't want anyone else to rap anymore. Honestly, no. None of them. Like, in terms of this beef, none of them need to do anything else. And like I said, ASAP's disses are ones that also, you know, it's like a like I'm rubber and you glue. Whatever you say, bounce off me, stick to you. This shit is the exact same. What he's saying is the exact same thing that happened to him. It doesn't make any sense. It's dumb. Like, Ross wasted our time, man. Great production as always. No
the
bars.
That beat on that Ross track was fired up. Like,
that's what I said. Great production as always. Ross, yeah. I will never argue with Ross. He's eager about music. He understands how music should sound. He is just not a phenomenal rapper. Wasted my time with that. Weekend, you're a singer, I don't care. You know what I mean? You're wasting my time. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, and Cole, I don't need you because it's bad for your heart. I don't need you having a fucking anxiety attack over this. All right. So let's just,
What about Travis Scott? Because Travis Scott's play in this is a little murky, right? Because people are trying to figure out, like, did Drake diss Travis or not? They're saying that the whole reason Travis got is involved is because he was on stage at Rolling Loud when they played Like That, and Travis was egging them on to play Like That. And they're saying, like, you know, at this time when they played the track at the festival, Kendrick's verse wasn't, like, on the track, right? Yeah. But they're saying that Travis might have known that Kendrick dissed Drake on the track, and that's why he was pushing it. And then Drake has some line in his response about, like, you know, it's all cool until you're does he say baby mom? Baby mom start pillow talking, and they don't know if that's, like, just a subliminal shot at Travis about Kylie or what. So what do you think?
And again, all these niggas date women that could know Drake well.
Yeah. Right, I know, but that's what I'm saying. That's why we don't know. That's why we don't know if Travis actually, like, you know, got shot at.
I don't need this from Travis. I don't need Travis in beef. Travis needs to do exactly what he does. All right. Travis needs to be somewhere making me another Astral World. That's what he needs to be doing. Really? Sit somewhere and making me another exact version of that project, okay? All right, he needs to do that again. That shit is a phenomenal album. I don't want to hear him rap beefing with nobody.
And can we officially retire French Montana? Because this dude, man, like,
French Montana is a vegetarian now. That's all. That's what he does.
Ross is saying the whole reason he doesn't fuck with Drake is because Drake didn't want to be on French Montana's project. But French's project, Mac and Cheese 5, like, flopped. And the whole reason we know it flopped, well, we know because we can see the numbers, but this dude, like, released, like, 6 different versions of the album just trying to boost, like, the sales and streams. Yeah, like, begging for streams, like, literally, like, spam streaming services with, like, and then he released every single track of the album as a single. Like, he literally spammed the streaming services to, like, try to get more.
He did what he needed to because you got to pay back the fucking advances and shit. You owe money. You got to get that shit out here. It did not sell anything like you thought it would. And that's also part of that is probably Drake going, hey, man, I know I sent you over some shit. Don't you dare put it on this bullshit you about to put out. All right. Yeah. Season 6 or whatever, like, I'm surprised Ross got mad about that. Like, I get that that's your man, but it's like, bro, like, the album is a flop. You know it's a flop. It would have been a wise move on his part to say, hey, I don't want to be attached to that. Like, don't put your fucking, you know, your fucking Drake verse I gave you on there. And again, this is you telling me you hate this nigga because of some legal battle shit. Like, it's just like, man, this shit is not gangster, man. Get it? If you don't, I don't need this from you, Ross. I don't need this shit. I don't need, and French, like you said, French should just be, he should save Africa one village at a time like he's doing right now. All right. He's doing a really good job at being a humanitarian, and I'm cool with that. Let him keep doing it.
You gotta let it go, man. Like, you gotta let it go. Yeah, none of French's songs are good songs because of French. Like, none of them. None of them.
Yeah, I'm, Yeah, pop that.
Gotta let it go, man.
All right. No, yeah, they're not. They're not. I'm like over here racking my brain about songs that I like from French Montana, and I don't realize. I'm realizing that it has not
turned on a French Montana song to hear French Montana.
he do got some anthems though. That joint with Sway Lee and Pop Dad are like ones that when they come on places, everybody gets active. But it has nothing to do with him. You're right. It has nothing to do with him. Yeah.
All right. So to round it out, I think we hit everybody who's been mentioned. Anything we miss? No.
No, but like final word, rappers, stop rapping about the women at y'all a day, man. If y'all love these women or whatever, leave them out of this shit. If you don't love these women, leave them out of this shit because it literally means nothing then. You know
and
what
they
mean,
repeatedly and like you said, I think you made a good point. Like they repeatedly say like they really don't give a fuck about these bitches. Like
yeah, they do. Like and the ones that they really do give a fuck about are like are ones that have also someone else has really gave a fuck about. It's not like they like you know what I mean. Like that person gave a fuck. These people really cared about them. You know what I mean? Like, it'd just be goofy. Like, y'all niggas are, I don't understand. That shit is so stupid, man. It's so stupid.
Yeah. All right. Also, this past week, OJ Simpson passed away. He passed away and lost his battle with colon. Is it prostate or colon cancer? I think he has some form of prostate or colon cancer.
Cancer what, man? You know, cancer made the tackle. I don't know. Whatever. You know what I'm saying?
It's not. Yo, that's fucked up.
The specifics are not, you know, whatever.
That's messed up. But it's interesting because most of the time when we see people pass away in this digital social media age, we see a bunch of, you know, rest in peace posts and things like that that go viral on TikTok and Instagram. For OJ, people were pretty much flaming and making fun of him, which was like kind of fucked up. We saw some weird stuff though, like Caitlyn Jenner posted good riddance to him publicly, which I thought was like, I think that was like super fucking.
Yeah, that was weird.
I think that was super weird. Sir. Like, come on.
Yeah, in poor taste. Yeah.
Publicly, like you got to do that publicly. Guys,
I just need y'all to know, like we are talking about someone who Caitlyn believes murdered people that they cared about. Like I need y'all. Y'all gotta keep that shit in perspective.
Yeah. I totally understand that.
Check this out, Ryan. If someone murdered me, right? You know what I'm saying? And they, as far as you knew, you thought they murdered me, and then they died. You'd probably be like, "Good riddance" about this part. If you firmly believe
that, I wouldn't run to the internet and post it like that. Especially when I know, like,
I want you to, man. I'm one of your best friends. You got your shit together. See, you're looking
to that even better.
It needs to be like. You gotta get up and be like, "Hey man, fuck that guy. He killed Cliff." You know what I'm saying? Like that's the type of energy I need you on.
Now that I understand that's your expectation, like I'll act accordingly. But like if we never had this conversation, like I wouldn't feel the need to do that. I don't think.
It's just not that surprising to me. You know what I mean? That like you know someone that person actively hated would celebrate when they did. Like look how niggas acted when Kevin Samuels died. Right. Like. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you actively hate somebody or whatever, people celebrate it when they die. That's just a thing. Like, and I don't think it's that weird because, again, it's like I really didn't like this person. It's not like, you know what I'm saying? It's not like it was I could have gone either way and it's weird to celebrate that I'm dying or like this person was really good. It's like, no, this person was as far as I'm concerned, a menace. And so I'm happy that they're dead. Like, I don't think it's crazy. I think people really just thought it was crazy because they don't like Caitlyn Jenner. You know what I mean? Like, that's the other thing, too. Like, there people had genuine problems with her. You know what I'm saying? So like, that's where that comes from.
Do the Bills honor OJ?
Yeah,
they're 143 yards a game is 143 yards a game. I'm just saying.
I think they will because I saw several tweets.
They had games and shit all the time. They had them at games and stuff like that. They honored them during the season. I think last year.
No, all right. I think they for sure. They for sure.
He was a strange cat,
I was about to say, like that part.
He definitely lived a full ass life. Like this dude's like,
you know how people say like separating the art or whatever from the person or the whatever. Like normally I don't agree with that shit. You know what I mean? Like Robert Kelly, stay where the fuck you at. But with OJ, it's like, god damn it, that motherfucker could run the ball though, couldn't he? Like he's
My man got North and South,
god damn it. Like he was doing what he was supposed to do. If the goal is to run the ball forward, that nigga did that well, I'll tell you that. So it's hard to argue with, it really is. But I get the concept of like, yo, like people hated him. So, and he was, this was also the thing. He's such a polarizing figure, right? Like there are folks who I don't give a fuck about what he was doing outside of here. He ran 143 yards a game. So it's sad that he's gone. There's people who feel like that. And then there's people who's like, I don't give a fuck about what he did on that field. He murdered those people and got away with it. And then trolled the world about it for the rest of his life. So fuck that guy. He's a polarizing person for sure. So this shit is not surprising at all that folks are actively publicly going fuck OJ. Like,
there are people that credit his like the coverage of the white Bronco chase as the start of reality TV.
Oh yeah, that is.
They saw the numbers of people watching that, and it's like, and we can do this all the time. We could just put people in.
That really did it. Like people were like, holy shit. First of all, the court case is the birth of court TV.
It's so funny. I saw a video on Twitter where they were showing the verdict and like the reactions to the verdict. And you could see like all the black people like reaction to the verdict was like celebrating. white people were like shocked and like upset. It was just like, yo, like, what a time to be alive in America. Like to see that like go down.
What's interesting is to watch how niggas have reversed course on that over time. As like black people over time have really, really turned heel on that thought about. Like at first it was a collective, like, nah man, he ain't do that shit. And they railroaded him because he black. And then as time is going on, every nigga under the sun is going, nah man, OJ
did that shit. He definitely did that shit. Yeah.
It's kinda crazy that he got off, man. I mean, we got one. You know, usually the system works against us, but yeah, he got up out of there. He got up out of there with the quick flash. Shout out to Johnny. Johnny became like a motherfucking superstar off of that shit, didn't he? Like, Johnny became a goddamn rock star. I still see commercials about the Cochran Law Firm to this day. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, but he did some great. I mean, bro, that's like amazing. Like the work he did, like, was like fucking amazing. Did you guys watch the
rhyming things in your court proceedings? That is next up. First of all, that's mad black. All right, okay, but that is. Next level blackness right there to be like, yo, check this out. If the glove don't fit, you must acquit. I know the jury was like, I can't wait till tomorrow. What he got for us tomorrow? This nigga cook it. The jury was in deliberation, like, hey man, I don't want to be the one to open it up, but who wants to talk about these bars from Johnny, man? It's like Johnny got bars, don't he? He's been killing us all court trial.
Yeah, for sure somebody was like that in the deliberation room, like
yeah, for sure. Somebody was in there like, hey man, I don't know if this is how court usually go? Because you know niggas is just there for jury duty, you know what I'm saying? It's just a chore at first. And then you see this shit popping up, and you're like, hey man, is this how court usually shake out? Niggas be rapping?
All right, let's hit this next topic and keep it moving. This past week, we also saw a total meltdown on the Fresh and Fit podcast. If you're not familiar with who they are, they pretty much are like kind of like a red pill podcast. Most of the time, they went viral back in 2020 with a lot of these like red pill theories and ideologies. Well, they're trending this past week because one of the hosts of the show, who is Fresh, and the other guy's name is Fit, if you didn't know, Fresh and Fit. the guy Fresh apparently slept with a prostitute, and she got pregnant, and he was trying to force her to get an abortion. Leaked messages, and which I think is, audio is, also came out.
Which is something they're actively against most of the time in their podcast. Like, they're very big on men need to take responsibility when they get a girl pregnant. That's a real man. Like that. That's one of their, you know, all that red pill shit is against this, by the way.
So that happens to you.
Right. Exactly. So when this leaked, there was a lot of speculation on the podcast, et cetera, et cetera. So they, when they went on air, his counterpart Fit, kind of had a, I don't know if you call it a mental breakdown or just like a hissy fit or, you know, whatever.
We can call it a hissy fit.
You can call it a hissy fit.
And where he was saying that he's going to stand by Fresh no matter what, and everybody else who helped him with the podcast, because no matter what, throughout the years, the people who stood by him have been these guys, blah blah blah, et cetera, et cetera. What do you guys think about this?
This nigga started bringing up that they received death threats previously and like all of this. It's like, bro, man, we're just talking about the fact that y'all are hypocritical right now. Like nobody's, it's not this serious. Your homie got a woman who's an escort pregnant and like, that's it. That's what's going on. Like that's what's going on here. He doesn't want to have that baby. He looks
goofy. Which is also against the red pill theory too, which is like, you know, we don't pay for women, like, you know, we're the prize. Da, 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 da,
and that was so. Oh, and that was another thing that they had a discourse surrounding this previously, this woman or whatever, where they were saying she wasn't an escort. They were like, nah, like they were talking her up. She comes from a real good family, like all this other shit. And then she gets, because he was dating her. That's the other part. It wasn't like he was dating her for a second. She got pregnant. Now it's like, hey, wait a minute. This bitch is a escort, and why am I having a baby with her? And I don't want to do this, and I don't want to meet you. I don't want you to meet, you know, I don't want to do this full time with you or whatever. You know what I mean? That shit is goofy. But to have a full breakdown, and you're not even the nigga with the, you're not even the nigga with the baby on the way. That's the crazy thing. Like he's screaming at the top of his lungs in this clip. Ryan, you should have played the clip, dog. You should have played the clip. Did you have it queued up by any chance? Because he's screaming at fucking.
No, lungs. I don't know. No, fuck those guys, man. We don't play
it. Yeah, that's real time. That's the other discourse too. Was so many people really, really hate these niggas that like everyone was loving the opportunity to laugh at the disdain. And this is the same conversation I'm talking about. I guarantee you niggas will celebrate when they die. People will be celebrating when these dudes pass away. They're hated in their ilk. Like there are people who feel that strongly about how much they hate them. But it happens like that. It shakes out like that.
Do you think they understand the irony of this situation? Do you think it's lost on them?
I think it's lost on them because he's become
the exact person that he's like pronouncing to the world shouldn't exist. Like he's a guy who pays for pussy and tries to avoid his responsibilities as a man. And it's like, do you think they understand, like, wow, I'm actually exactly what I claim to hate in this world?
I don't think they see it, because like I think
they're a liar in some way.
Yes, that's what I was about to say. I think that their egos are so large that they look at it and they're like, well, this situation is different. Like, and that this is like a one-off situation that's totally different than, you know, what they've been talking about for the past 3-4 years. So,
which is just not the case. You know what I'm saying? And leave it to niggas to do something like that, right? Leave it to people to be like, yeah, I know I've been saying this, but nah. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's literally all they're doing. We've been preaching this shit for years, but now, nah, I'm not doing it. I'm not with
it. Which I think is like, you know, it's kind of, which is fucked up, because they could have, honestly, like, I would have gained respect for him, be it, you know, the guy who got the girl pregnant, if he would have manned up to it and was like, yeah, like, I made a mistake. Like, this is wrong. Like, I fucked up. Whatever, right? But instead, like, they are taking the other route, which, you know, it is.
And they treat it like they're under some sort of attack. Right. Like, the way that the nigga was talking is like this is a ploy against him or some shit like that. Like, bro, like, your pullout.
We didn't make this up. We did not make this up.
You know what I mean? If that's the argument, like, you know what I mean? This is really happening to you, and it's no one's fault but your own that there's a baby in this person. Like, we had these same conversations all the time about, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you do not want to get somebody pregnant, do not nut in them. Like, don't do it. I mean, it's really avoidable. There are so many people right now actively trying to make kids. It's really not that easy to do. It's not. It's not. People are really putting their effort into doing so. So if you've done it, you did things right along the way to get there, all right? Then you shouldn't have done it. It's that simple. Like, I don't fucking get it.
All right, let's move off these guys. So we also saw this past week some bad news for San Antonio Brahmas kicker Donald De La Haye. If you don't know who that is, you might know him by his YouTube name, Destroying. He is a athlete who used to be a college football player who actually was kicked off his college football team for creating videos. This was before the like NIL deal and all this other stuff. So he was creating videos of what went on at his school. And what it was like to be a college athlete, and his school found out about it, that he was profiting, and he had to profiting off the videos. He had to make a decision between continuing his college athlete career and doing YouTube. He chose YouTube. He's been pretty successful, not pretty. He's been very successful on YouTube for a while, but has been looking for an opportunity to play football again. And he got it in with the San Antonio Brahmas, but he got hurt. He is actually going to be out. I don't think he's out for the season, but he's out for about like 6 weeks with a neck injury. He's actually a kicker.
Shit like that, didn't he?
Say it again.
Didn't he like fracture it or some shit like that?
Yeah, he has like neck fractures.
He's actually a kicker. And he's mad athletic. Like he's a great kicker. He hustled down the field to make a tackle. He made a great hit on the play and laid the dude out. But in the process, in hindsight,
we can't call it great.
It's a poor form tackle if you broke your neck, nigga. Like that's worst tackle in your life.
he has a fracture in his neck in a couple places. And now, like, you know, pretty much like his United Football League season is pretty much a wrap, right? You know,
it's a kicker, like,
break for him, no pun intended.
Oh, that's actually that's fine.
But I think that I honestly, I think, like, you know, sometimes I think some people are like, it's just not meant to happen, you know, like, but maybe he uses it as fuel and he continues to try. I think either way, like, he's going to continue to have a very successful YouTube career.
Yeah, bro, this recovery run through YouTube is gonna be epic.
Right. Yeah.
He got content for the next year and a half. Right. He'd be all right.
Now, do y'all think he gets back? Because you know, injury for a kicker is a death sentence usually, especially if you're a kicker who's like trying to prove that you're a kicker. You know what I'm saying? Like you just getting a shot. You're not an established kicker for the team.
You know, like you're not gonna wait on a kicker and like you know because there's tons of them out there.
Exactly. So do you think that this is a wrap for him playing professional football?
I believe so, yes.
I think he gets another spring football chance.
You know what, though? I think if he does get another chance, it's strictly because of
how popular he is on YouTube
and shit. Yeah. Yep. Okay. It's the it's a marketing.
He brings too much to the table for a startup league to not give him a chance at redemption.
Exactly. Right. All it's right. Like, okay, like what this dude... This dude gets like 4 or 5 million followers. I mean, views on everything he posts on YouTube, and we can bring those eyes to the United Football League. Yeah, like let's sign him. Like
now, last question: as a nigga who making this kind of money off of YouTube or whatever, right? And you just fractured your fucking neck. Do you
continue to chase the dream?
Process to try and chase the dream of playing football again? Like, because realistically, like he got to playing professional football for like a couple of weeks, and he broke his neck. Like, I mean, that's like the bare bones of what happened. Like he's been chasing after this dream. He gets a chance. He plays for a few weeks and literally breaks his fucking neck. And usually for some people is a sign of being like, you know, like if a motherfucker, if I went surfing and a shark takes a foot off, that's it. I'm not surfing no more. I don't ever surf again. I may not, you know what I mean? It's a done deal.
I mean,
is there something to be said for that?
That's a lot of his YouTube persona though. Like I'm good enough to play professionally, like a lot of more recently his content is different, but like a lot of like, his
recently like his content like, was like yeah his startup stuff was like on the journey, yeah, and then like it became like I'm gonna host these like drills at this park and I'm giving away $1,000 to the winner of the
it's mostly
like,
that drills. Now
yeah. Right. And I think like if I'm him,
a lot of them content creators have turned into that because apparently you like make a lot of views when people think you're giving away money, like you know, like if you're gonna give away, and so they give away money all the time now.
Right.
People
right.
Like
that's Mr. Beast's whole like thing. Like that's yeah. I think that's why Mr. Beast is like one of the most popular people on YouTube is because
I'm trying to figure out though how to get started with that shit too because like how much money do you have to bring in to start giving away money to, you know what I mean?
I mean, bro, like this the YouTube money is like ridiculous because, like, just for example, like the Shannon Sharp interview with Cat Williams, like he said he made more money on that one video in a week than he made like for in any year in the NFL. And I know he was like a player, you know, in the 90s, but he was at least making like $4 or $5 billion
a year. He was a star. So yeah, he was making good money. God damn, 1 week. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I get it. No, okay.
So like taking it back to destroying, like if I'm him, like why would I like come on now, like you're playing in the UFL, like and no shade to the UFL, but nobody over there is making that type of money, right? And
yeah, no, they're not.
Like if your goal is to make it to the NFL,
one day make that money,
like, right? You know and even if your goal is to make it to the NFL, like he's not a quarterback. Yeah, he's not a quarterback. Yeah, he's not
he
like
could be an old kicker.
Yeah, I feel like, on, man, like we just re-signed Jake Elliott, and I think we made him like the second highest paid kicker, and he's making like $4 million a year, something like that, 4.3 a year, something like that.
Behind I mean, I can't speak for his passion of football, but like he says he wants to play football, so I'm just going to
play football out there in the park. cash these YouTube checks. Bro, like cash these YouTube checks. Go sit down.
I don't feel like it's unreasonable to say. I don't feel like you're it's unreasonable to say.
That and play Madden. Like.
Yeah, like, come on, bro.
He I don't feel like it's unreasonable to say that, like, one of his goals in life is to kick in the NFL. Hmm. And, like, no, I don't know that breaking his neck trying to do that, like, trying to take the incremental step to, like, get there would discourage him from trying it again. Yeah. I just feel like this is maybe too far a leap. Because he's, like, he's gotten a taste, like, this might be possible. Like, people have gone from spring football to the NFL. Yeah. It's like, if I show that I can do this, I could get to the NFL, and that's what I've been trying to do all these years. So, like, I don't think that this is like a I'm not going to try anymore.
I feel you on that. I think, like, if the conversation for me becomes, like, if we're, it's a broken neck. Like, if it was, like, if I broke my wrist, or if I, like, you know, like sprained an ankle or some shit like that, I'm probably not going to, but a broken neck is, like, pretty deep. Like, that's like a, like, wow, man, this could have went left and I could be, like, not walking. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, I could have, like, one more bad angle here and, like, this could have been the end of all the YouTube shit I want to do, too. Because that's the other part is there's the risk reward of, like, okay, well, it's not like it's a guarantee that I get re-injured, but this was such a fluky-ass thing. I'm a kicker. I normally don't have to make tackles, so you could look at it that way. But I did have to make a tackle this time, and it took
me out. He didn't have to make this tackle. Like, he sprinted down the field to, like, tackle.
Which, I mean, it's what you're supposed to do, though. As the kicker, like, you're supposed to – a lot of them will whiff and, like, not even try, but you're supposed to be that last line of defense because your last is the least athletic person out there right then. Like, so you're the last person down the, you know, down the field, so naturally you're the closest to the end zone. Like, you're supposed to do that. But I guess –
I mean, okay, like – I would answer this question, like, logically, right? You would have to take the YouTube part away from it, right? If you and think about the likelihood and chances. If you are a United Football League kicker, what makes an NFL team say, we need that guy to come here and kick for us?
Hitting right? bombs like, consistently. That's all it takes. Because the dude that plays for the Cowboys, I think his last name is Turpin or something. Yeah, he ran back up like 12 kicks in the UFL season. They were like, "Yo, this dude clearly can do something. Bring him in." And he's on an NFL team now. He's got an NFL contract now.
I thought the funny thing with the boy Destroy, and I thought like he was about to get his NFL call up quick because he was
supposed to be out for a 60-yard kick. They brought him out for a 60-yard kick. And he had an opportunity, like, right there or whatever I thought was, like, where it was about to be, like, damn, like, he knocks this down. Like, the league might go, all right, hey, come here. But they turned it to a trick play and sent his ass out there to try and catch a pass instead or some shit like that. Like, I was like, well, he's going to be back to continuing this dream for a second. So, yeah, I mean, I ain't surprised. Like,
yeah.
Okay, let's talk about another streamer that we saw a clip on this past week. So, Kai, how do you pronounce his last name? Sanat? Sanat?
Sanat, I think.
Sanat. I never watched this dude, but I see him all the time on Twitter, my Twitter feed. He's a streamer. It seemed like this dude like records every day. I know he won an award last year for like best streamer, like best internet streamer. He's pretty popular. This topic comes up because he and again, like, you know, this is part of our like microwave digital media society. I didn't see the whole thing, but in a small clip. Small clip, he basically says that black people do not have any culture, and he's being taken to task because I think he's from the Caribbean.
Yeah,
I'm 100% sure that he lives in the States, and people are saying, like, you know, you dress like, you know, a black person, you emulate black culture, the majority of the topics you cover is black culture, like, how are you gonna, you know, make those claims? What do you guys think about this? Let's not spend a lot of time on this because, you know, I think he's just, he's young. He's like 22. He's misguided. Like,
it's also like, well, I'll say this. It don't really matter how old he is. That is a common thought process of black folks that aren't American, like Africa, Caribbean folks, you name it. If you're black and you're not American, you have like a lot of times they have like, at least they start with a slanted view of black folks. Like, either they feel like, you know, they feel like we're not shit or we're ignorant or we're just that or third. A lot of what white media has put out about us or whatever, like in white culture or whatever, like, you know, like the work that has been done to kind of like make our image be one thing, like systemically or whatever, it works. You know what I'm saying? So that's they have that same thought process, and they don't even see these like the person who in the clip that we were like looking at or whatever where we end up talking about this, the person who's commenting, like Khan doesn't even they don't even see that way. Like he's doing very very black things, like being black, hanging out with black artists, like bringing them onto his platform or whatever. Like he's
from New York City. Like come on, dog, you're born in New York City.
Right.
Come on, bro.
Right. So
his whole swag is just a New York black dude. Now because you like you're not there anymore, you see yourself as different. Like why? Come on, dog. His whole swag is like a black guy from New York. His whole,
and then New York is a melting pot full of like, you know, it has like all, you know, all those cultures and stuff like that, Islanders in the center there, but they're all very much New Yorkers. Like, even if they, you know what I'm saying? Like, even if you're an Islander, even if you like, you know, you, the Latino folks, everybody from there, they're New Yorkers. Niggas from New York will not be anything but New York. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's their shit. Like, it is their
own. I think regardless, like, I think he's just I think it's stupid. Like, this is like the dumbest comment of 2024. We've had a lot of dumb shit happen. Like, so far. But I think, yeah. I mean, we all know, like, black culture is the most emulated culture, like, worldwide, not just
worldwide. In America. Like, you worldwide. Know, one of the things I fucking love watching right now, which is wild, is Japanese dance choreographies or whatever that are like black as fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, they be going in. Never know any Japanese dudes or whatever giving you like the crispest pop lock and crip walk combination you've ever seen in your life. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then they go a step too far because everybody got a durag on or some shit. And you'd be like, God damn it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted to enjoy this coordination, but here you go. Where my culture? Like, but yeah, it's very emulate for sure. Like, very much. So he looks goofy as shit for saying this. I agree.
All right, let's keep the theme on.
I guess that's the last thing. Last thing I'm going to say is that we don't do that to these other nations. Like, black people don't sit around and, like, shit on the culture of Africa or, like, the Caribbeans instead of. We long for shit like that. Like, niggas, normally you hear a nigga talk about, like, they wish they had a better connection to their ancestry and this, that, and third. So it'd be, like, weird when we get that kind of, like, you'd be like, what the fuck? What do we do? Like,
so unnecessary. So unnecessary.
And also, you know, like, what you're saying. It also makes it way more valuable, right? To think that when I say our, like African American culture, history does not date back as long as like these other nations that have had like, you know, thousands of years of like culture development, right? Or like history, right? Where like African Americans' history go back like, you know, maybe only a couple, like maybe three generations, four generations, you know, like. And so for the culture to be that strong and influential, like is right. Pretty right. Amazing. Right.
Right.
Okay. So let's like keep the same theme with these stuff we've seen on the internet or internet reactions rather. Summer Walker posted on her Instagram a photo of her boyfriend who has now blown up due to his past relationships. Pretty much she posted the face photo of her hugging him so people can identify who he is. And then one woman commented that, you know, she used to know him in the past and dated him and he was kind of crazy and super clingy. Another woman posted that, you know, he tried to get extremely close to her the same way. Some of them said that he had an OnlyFans and he was only going to take it down if the new woman that he was dating would join him on OnlyFans. It's just all these wild stories about him. Popping up. The first question about this topic is, one, do you think that these stories are valid, or you just think that, you know, it became like a Summer Walker boyfriend roast challenge on Twitter? Or two, and the question two is like, how much of what you read on the internet about someone you're dating should influence what you do and your reaction, you know, to that information and news, what you do in your relationship? So let's just start with first. Do you think all these allegations against him are true, or you think people just like maybe one of them are true or two of them are true, and people just hopped on the train and started making up stories? What do you think?
I gotta believe all of this shit is true, bro. The reason I gotta believe is because they're so. It's from all different types of corners of women. Like there are like chicks who are just like slightly Instagram famous. There are chicks who got like who not even Instagram famous, but they're like up and coming models. There are porn stars. There are like active like, you know what I mean, like artists or whatever, like Summer Walker or whatever, you know what I mean, stuff like that. There are people who these are women from all different walks of life that like would have been involved with like someone who's like a photographer-ish type of nigga. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they're all saying the same type of thing, which is that like he did not respect their autonomy, like in whatever they got going on. Like he betrayed their trust in some way, shape, or form, or whatever. He did something to take advantage of them, put them in some. It's all like it's too much. These women don't have no connections. You know what I'm saying? Like the only connection is him. So like that's why to me it like it's believable or whatever as far as I'm concerned. And I guess it becomes a question too of like and. Some of these things are so old, like the collection of conversation about it was like some of these tweets and things that they're pulling together of these women telling their stories about this guy are like 5, 7, 8 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then some of them are now too. So like, that's why it don't seem like a Summer Walker. It might seem like that discourse, but it's like, they were talking about this nigga before he even got with Summer Walker. You know what I'm saying? Like there were women saying their story about how he fucked their shit up. Well before he got involved with her, you know what I'm saying? Like, and so people are just finding out right now and connecting the dots. Like, wait, this nigga is also that nigga? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because he did a rebrand. That's the other thing. You know, niggas is good for that. Like, he did a rebrand on numerous occasions. Each time, it seems like that his shit has gotten hot. Like, his block has gotten hot. He just changed the name of his like company or whatever, his media like outlet, whatever it is that he's doing. He just changed his name and then start fucking with new people or whatever, doing something different. So yeah, I believe the shit there. Believe the shit for sure.
Same here. It's like too consistent, too specific, too spread out amongst people and places and like years for it to be like nothing.
Exactly. Cause like it's no way that the argument, like in order for it to be like a stage thing, would have to be that these women who are talking about it currently found out about this shit from 8 to 9 years ago, whatever, and all collectively decided that now was an opportunity to, you know, to mention, you know what I mean? Like, if they didn't have their own actual experiences with him, they would have, he's not that famous, you know what I mean? Yeah. Where they would have, you know what I'm saying? Where they would have been doing this, pining away, waiting for an opportunity. It just so happens to be like one of those things where you see this thing and you're like, oh, hold on, this nigga looks familiar. Oh, that's the nigga from, hey, I know you're not out. Hold on, let me tell my story about this person. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those type of shit. Yeah.
And also, because Summer Walker had such a publicly horrible relationship with London on the Track, I feel like people generally just want her to be happy.
Like, yep.
So I feel like this even started like, oh, damn, she done found another horrible man. And then everybody was like, yeah, he is horrible. He did this to me. And 8 years ago, he did this to me. So like, I feel like it even started with like a genuine... like, yo, watch your back because he kind of sucks.
Okay, so then to segue that into how much like social media influence or public opinion should affect your relationship versus like, because for her, right? Like, I mean, it might just seem like it's great for her, right?
Summer guy asked some questions. That's why I leave that. She got to have a couple conversations with this guy.
Yeah, you definitely should do that. And the other thing too for me is there are certain allegations where you're not coming back from. Or certain things where, like, you don't want to hear, like, if this, like, all right, right. Like, so I told you, like as some of these things are, like, 8, 7, 8, 5 years old, whatever. Like, if you meet this person and they tell you that, like, yo, if they tell you up front, hey, man, I got a past and here's what it is. Sometimes you can accept people's past. These allegations this nigga's getting are not accept your past allegations. Like, they're not like, it's not like, yo, I cheated on somebody once before. It's like. Like, these just make him sound like he was an active menace to women on a regular basis.
But what if like, her response is like, hey, you know, you've never been that person to me. I want to judge you off of.
That's my cool if she wants.
That's fair. Experience with you. She can do that. But she gotta have some conversations with this person.
Yeah, you gotta have some conversations, and do not come to us if he does you like this. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those things where people have empathy for you when you don't know, but if they reveal to you that. This is how this person moves, and you go, no, he don't move like that with me. Or you go, you're going to be the exception or the outlier. First of all, like nobody's ever the exception or the outlier. That never happens, dog. If this is like the type of person that this person is, like they'd be like, oh, they change for the person that they want. They don't, man. They don't. You just accept what this person's doing. That person that they end up settling down with and stays with them, they just find a way to make peace with whatever it is. That people don't change in that regard. With not those type of people. I'm sorry, man. Like niggas will give up a type of meat for you or something like that, or like a cuisine. Hey, I won't eat this anymore. Or hey, if this, you know, whatever. But they're not changing fundamental parts of themselves. Like doing this to this many women. You know what I'm saying? Like it just That shit ain't going nowhere. I'm sorry. And that part is where I'm like, if the conversation is how much do you read about your partner and how much it should impact you, it's about what you're reading in particular. So you don't just believe everything you read on the internet, but what you're reading is this, yeah, it should impact you. You should be making decisions.
So if Summer was your sister, like you would 100% full stop be like, look,
yeah,
we gotta end this.
Yeah. If Summer is my sister, I'd be like, don't, because what I'm not trying to be in the predicament of what happens when this fallout happens for you, if or when it does. And this is, that's just what I would look at. You know what I mean? Is I don't want you in this predicament. To me, the risk doesn't outweigh. I mean, the risk outweighs
even
more.
Even if your sister was like, it ain't good, but we still good. You'd be like, you still had that.
Yeah. I would still. I mean, again, don't get me wrong. My sister ain't gotta like do what
you see
I
what
say.
I did? You see what I did there? I think
I did. Yeah, I got you.
Okay. Right.
Well done. But no, like the reality though for me, yeah, like is I mean Summer doesn't have to listen to anything that's being said here. But if you don't talk to me about it or whatever when it goes awry. When it goes awry, I don't want to hear about it. You know what I'm saying? I would tell my sister the same thing. Like, hey, like I'm giving you this advice, and now if you're telling me to mind my business, then I will mind my business. But
yeah, I think that's the biggest part of it. Like, you know, you as a bystander, like it's okay to give your opinion, but then like you know when stuff goes wrong, like. Don't come back to me, you know, like, oh, I can't believe this. Da, 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 da. It's like, no. Like,
yeah, yes, you're good.
We talk.
Yeah, you can believe it. We believe it like Ripley's, motherfucker. All right, I specifically had a conversation with you. Okay, like, so yeah, right. Now fuck that shit.
Okay, let's keep it moving. Let's hit this last topic so we can end on a positive note. We saw this crazy story this past week that came out where in Texas, a mother and son were both arrested for recruiting juvenile students for prostitution. It's even more crazy because the mother is a teacher and the students that she is charged with recruiting were students at her school. What was happening was her son, who's 22, was looking for distressed teens at his mom's school to offer places to stay and then essentially pimp them out. And the mom was paying for the hotel rooms that the students were staying in. It's just a wild ass story, period. I don't really know what the angle is here, but
how do you become this horrible?
I guess that was the angle for me on the topic. Like who's responsible for this shit? How did y'all set this up? Like does the son, because there's this, listen to how wild either of these setups has to go. As a son, you have to let your mom know that you are into minors and you need help. And you need help finding such minors. No, but the son is the only one fucking them though. That's the specific there. They're not being pimped out to anybody. It's just her and her son. I mean, she's lining them up for her son. It's what's happening. For clarity, by the way. Like so
are
like
you sure? You sure about that?
I thought that's
where's
what
the prostitution. Where's the prostitution charge come in at?
She's paying them to fuck her son. That's prostitution.
Got it. Okay, I misunderstood. Yeah, well, that's even worse. Jesus Christ.
All right. So again, like my thing is like, how does this shake out? Like, does this as a son, do you just come to your mom and say, hey, listen, I'm into minors, and since you're a teacher, you got access to minors. Let's work this out, or find out your son is into minors, and you go, I don't want him to get booked trying to find a minor out here. So let me facilitate. The deal, yeah. You know, how does this happen? Is my biggest thing. Like, which do y'all think is more likely? I think the son asked his mom to set this up, or you think the mom did this? Because there's something to be said about the conversation too about how weird, like mother son, father daughter, like the opposite, type of relationships get. You know what I'm talking about?
This can start to grow online too.
Like, you know, like they'll make, like people think it's cute, but like it gets a little weird. Like the moms will be making videos of the dad playing with the daughter. Like, I miss my man. He don't pay me attention anymore, but it's supposed to be a joke, but it's weird. Cause it's like, that's not their dynamic. You know what I mean? Or the same thing with the boy moms be all in they son's relationships. You know what I'm saying? Like, or even the ones we keep seeing going viral where these dudes is like got weird relationships with their mom, like they moms twerk for them, or like Kodak Black kissing on his and feeling his mom up and shit. Like, it's like that shit is weird. How do these dynamics like shake out that way? Like,
What the fuck? Who set this shit up?
Yeah, I do feel like the more likely of those horrible scenarios you laid out is that the mom found out that he was like cruising for minors, and she was like, "Let me have him do this in a structured way that he won't get caught."
You know, like, that crossed my mind. That crossed my mind too.
Will like take you places that you don't intend to go, but it's for the sake of like, I want the best for this person. It's like, and she's like looking for people that no one like quote unquote cares about. Like these are people with broken homes and like runaways. It's like, who's gonna report? Who are they gonna tell? Who's gonna believe them? She like set this up for this like almost like no one cares about the victim type of crime.
I feel like they refer to that like the less dead, you know what I mean? Or like the ones who like it, like folks aren't gonna pay this person any mind if they go missing, if anything happens, like it is what it is. Like they're victims, man. Perfect victims in that scenario. That's terrible, man.
The alternative is that she raised the person that thought this up, which I don't give her any. She gets no, like, you don't get a lesser something because you created this person. Like, they're both horrible.
Yeah. That's pretty wild. All right. Well, we're almost out of time, but I want to send you guys a reminder to send us caller mail. You can ask us a question.
Was that the good note you wanted to end on?
No. The caller mail is a good note. Send us a caller mail. Ask us a question. Let us know what topics you want to hear about. We will read it on the show.
Oh, my God.
Look at the notes of this episode to see all of our handles. We will for sure put you on the show. We appreciate
you. Tell them the 2B movie of the week next week.
Next
week's 2B movie of the week is called Love All Over Me. We were going to do it this week or whatever, but you know, we had some issues getting it finished. But we're gonna be back for y'all. It's a 2B movie conversation. Y'all should watch it. Watch it at a time so y'all can know what we're talking about. I'll like I said, I'll post it during the week. Let everybody know what this week's movie will be, so people can be ready to chip in with the conversation.
For sure, we are the most interactive podcast on the internet. The stats are up, and we appreciate you guys for tuning in and listening. We will be back here next week to recap the week. Until then, stay safe. Peace.